morning, 9 a.m. You can take your seats, please. All right, please turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Now listen. It says, now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. Now, listen, when they heard that David had been anointed king, sadly, they're after him. There is something about your destiny that the devil does not want you to achieve. Never. If he sees that you are stepping into your destiny, he will do everything to fight you. He will try with drugs, he will try with alcohol. He will do everything to stop you from stepping into your destiny. And the reason why your destiny is so important is it determines the reward you get in heaven. That's all it is. It determines the reward you get in heaven. Don't expect somebody like the thief on the cross that Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise, to get the same reward as somebody like Paul. No. No. The reason why Paul worked so hard to step into his destiny is because it determines the reward that he gets in heaven. 15 years, or at least, David had been trying to get to the crown. 15 years of tears, 15 years of pain, 15 years of suffering, you name it. Eventually, when he gets there, the enemy wants to take the crown out of, just destroy his destiny. You spend 15 years or so many years of your life trying to look for the right person to marry. And then when you find the right person, suddenly the devil tries to break you up, bring strife inside and all that. You spend all your life trying to find somebody to get married to. And when you find the person, some ex somewhere that you haven't even heard for in a long time suddenly shows up from nowhere. Because they want to destroy that destiny that God has for you. Listen, I like what he says. He says, David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. You need to protect your destiny, that stronghold. You need to get to that stronghold, that place where you protect your destiny. And sometimes that stronghold could be the church. Sometimes that stronghold could be the all night or half night where you come and you pray and you push back barriers just to protect your destiny. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next verse. This is just the starters. I haven't even started. Verse 8, it says, the Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. Next verse. So David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. Hallelujah. I like the way he says this. He says, God has broken through for me. Sometimes your breakthrough doesn't come until you go in the direction that God wants you to go. It doesn't. The minute you start going to that direction that God has called you, suddenly you see your breakthrough coming. It's not, you see, sometimes you can spend all your life going around in circles doing what you are supposed to do. But if you don't hear the voice of God and go in that direction, just like Peter in Luke chapter 5, verse 5, he said, Lord, I've been fishing all night, doing the very thing that he knows how to do all night, and yet it yielded nothing. But the minute he listened to the word of God, the minute he went in the direction God said he should go, suddenly he caught some fish that he'd never caught before. Always, if you want to see your breakthrough, you have to go in the direction that God says you should go. But I like the way, before David got there, I like the way the Bible says, he inquired of the Lord. Can we, but it says, so David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hands. Now, what I find interesting is the clarity with which God speaks to David. It's so clear. Don't you wish we had it these days? Where God speaks to you so clearly. Say, God, who should I marry? That girl in that green top. Or that boy. So clearly. But sometimes it doesn't work like that. You have to fast 30 days, 40 days, 50 days. I stop just to hear the voice of God. But look, I say, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistine. It was so clear. There's something about hearing God's voice that brings breakthrough. I've got a simple diagram to explain some things. Now I'll show you in a minute. Can you put up that diagram for me, please? Hope you can see. We've got We've got three different people here. You can tell. Now, their faces or the look on their faces probably says it all. So the first one, he's got a phone with absolutely no signal. You've got the second one. The second one has got partial signal. And then you can see how she's smiling. She's got full signal. See, the issue with having this no signal is you can't make any calls. And nobody can call you. Sometimes it's not even because nobody's trying to call you. It's because people are trying to get to you, but you're at a place where you can't receive any signal. So there are times you receive a text message saying someone tried to call you. But because you're at a place where you can't receive any signal at all. And I can understand, it's driving him mad. Because when you get to this place, sometimes you feel lost. Because even if you have a phone and you have to use your GPS, it wouldn't take you anywhere because there's no signal. And so you are lost, like Philip, you know. He didn't have a GPS. Thank God, God made a way. This place is a bad place to be. And then you've got this one, partial signal. This is okay. Sometimes you can make calls. Sometimes you can receive calls. But sometimes it's not clear either. You'll be on the phone talking to somebody and then you realize there's a drop call. Or sometimes you have to just take your phone like that, just trying to establish a connection. That you move from one spot to the other and then you go, hello, 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 can you hear me? Hello, hello. You just trying to move from one spot to the other, just trying to establish a connection. And the minute you get that connection, you have to stay at that spot. Because the minute you move, you lose the reception again. And so you stay there. Woe betide you if you're on the phone to someone who talks for England. You'll be there for the rest of your life. You see, that is the partial one. And then you've got full signal. That's my favorite. And I pray that one day I get there. And I believe this is what David was enjoying. The lines are so clear that, you know what, you can even drive whilst you're talking. You can be doing your chores at home when you're talking. For those of you who can even multitask, you can be watching TV and still talking at the same time. Because the lines are so clear that you can do anything you want. So clear. But you see, my question to you this morning is, where is your spiritual receptivity? Where are you here? Are you in this place? Are you in that place? Or are you in this place? You need to get your bars up. You see, I remember once King Saul, the first king of Israel, the Bible says he was just about to go to war, just like David, and he went before the Lord and said, God, should I go and fight? No answer. The Bible says he prayed and prayed. God didn't answer him. Then he decided to go and see some prophets too. There was no answer. He tried other things. There was still no answer. Eventually, you know what he did? He went to see a witch. He went to see a witch for an answer from God. That alone told me that Saul was definitely not in the right place. Because if your heart is in the right place, you will not go and see a witch and ask God for an answer. Besides, God has said, look, you need to get rid of all the witches in that territory. So I know definitely that he wasn't in the right place. And so maybe it wasn't because God wasn't talking, but maybe God was talking, but because he was in the no signal area, in a place where his heart wasn't right, God was speaking, but he couldn't hear him. And then there was this partial signal, where sometimes you can hear God, sometimes you can't, because your life is up and down. Like up and down, up and down. So you can't really hear God. Then you find them moving from one spot to the other, trying to establish a connection, trying to move from one church to the other, one church to the other, trying to establish a connection. It's not because God is not there. It's because you are not in the right place. So maybe God is trying to speak to you, but you're not even hearing, and you keep moving from place to place, hoping to hear God, but it's not even him. It's you trying to get your heart right before God. Partial signal. It's not great, because sometimes you have to wait. And even listen, Saul tried to go to prophets to seek an answer and didn't even get the answer. So just the fact that you're moving from prophet to prophet or church to church doesn't even mean God is going to speak to you if your heart is not right. So you need to get your heart right first before you go to God. And then this is my favorite. I love it. Full signal. Full signal. Where you hear God when you're driving, you hear God when you're watching TV. You hear God when you're cooking. You hear God all the time. I remember Sean Ball said something. He said, I hear God even when I'm playing video games. There's nothing spiritual about playing video games. And yet God speaks to him so clearly. But it's because he's got his bars up so full that he hears God clearly. Clearly, so clearly. So clearly. You know, David said something. He says, your word is a light unto my feet and a light unto my path. Your word, it means there's something about God's word that directs him everywhere he goes. It brights everywhere he goes. There's something about his word that leads him, even in darkness where he doesn't know what to do. Because the word of God itself is light, he knows where to go and how to go it. It says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. And so our first task really is to spend time in his word, trying to know not just his works, but his ways. Knowing who he really is so we can hear him. You know, I found something very interesting that, I don't know, for a long time I've been ignoring in the Bible, in 1 Samuel. So interesting. Let's go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'll read from 1 Samuel chapter 3. Are you there? It says this. It says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Now, Samuel was one of the greatest prophets of God. I mean, like, the Bible says he was so good, not even a single word of his fell to the ground. It means everything he said happened. It happened. He was so good. But the thing is, you can't be that good if you can't hear clearly from God. You've got to be able to hear that clear from God to be that good. But this is what I found out. It says, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. No, let's go back, please. Go back. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And I read it again. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. I mean, sometimes an absence of his word can lead to a lack of revelation. If you don't have his word, you don't have revelation. And you're probably saying, why do I need revelation for? Revelation for the child of God is everything. Because the minute God brings revelation, it means it's about to bring change. Anytime God reveals something, it's because he wants to bring change. Remember Joseph when he was in prison, when he was in prison, the Bible says Pharaoh had a dream. And he didn't understand that dream. He didn't know the revelation behind the dream. And then somebody recommended Joseph to come and interpret that dream. And the Bible says when Joseph came and gave the meaning of that dream, what happened to him? He got promoted. He was elevated as a result. Even in Daniel, I'll show you some. In Daniel chapter 2, can we go to Daniel chapter 2, please? Daniel chapter 2. You know what the Bible says? Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He had a dream. And he called all the magicians, every single person at that time around that area. I said, come. And I'm not even going to tell you what the dream is about. You have to tell me what the dream is about and give me the revelation behind the dream. And they said, look, this is impossible. Nobody can do it. I said, well, I'm going to kill everybody. Daniel said, give me some time. He went before the Lord and sought God's face. And he sought his word concerning that dream. And the Bible said, not only did God reveal the dream to Daniel, he gave him the interpretation. But now look at the reaction of the king, Nebuchadnezzar, in verse 46. Daniel chapter 2, verse 46. Look at his reaction. It says, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. Next verse. The king answered Daniel and said, truly, your God is the God of all gods, the Lord of kings and the revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. Next verse. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. As a result of the revelation he had concerning that dream, he was also elevated. Joseph, the same thing, he was elevated. Listen, you cannot be elevated without revelation. Anytime elevation comes, there should be a revelation. So revelation should be key to elevation. And that is why having revelation is so important, but it doesn't come until you spend time reading the word and knowing God and knowing his ways. Because there's the link, there's the connection between revelation and elevation. And anytime God brings a revelation, it's because he's about to bring change in your life. And that is why you should be ready to seek him concerning the revelation. Lord, what is your will concerning this situation? Should I stay here or should I go? What's your will concerning this job? Should I take it or should I leave it? Because the decisions you make determine your destiny. Decisions you make, they determine your destiny. And if your destiny is important to you because it determines your eternal reward, you would go to that stronghold where David was just to protect that destiny. Honestly, just to protect. When I first started preaching, I used to stand here. I used to prepare, read God's word so I can come and preach. Now when I read, I want to get to know God for myself. And I preach from the overflow in me. I'm not going to read just to come and preach. Those days are over. Because I want to know his ways. Lord, what step should I take? I want him to guide me concerning the step I should take. You need to get your bars up. You need to get your bars up to full receptivity. I mean, if you're not doing that as a Christian, then I don't know how you're living your life. I don't know, because then you'll be fishing all night and then you catch nothing. Not until you say, Lord, what should I do or how should I do it? The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. Your steps. It means there's a place in God where you can get to, where your steps. You don't even have to go to God and ask him. Because of the position you stand in him, he directs your path. The steps of a righteous man is ordered by God. It's just order. He orders it. And righteousness is not that outward modification of your behavior for people to see that you're holy. No, like the Pharisees is. No. Righteousness is more than that. It's the gift from God. He says he leads you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name's sake, he leads you in the path of righteousness. Righteousness is the nature of God in you that gives you the ability to stand before God without condemnation. He leads you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name's sake, he wants you to make sure you're on the right path. Nothing to do with us at all. Nothing to do with us. The Bible says, just as sin came into the world through one man, so righteousness also came through Jesus Christ. So it's a gift. And so you need to begin to call yourself the way God calls you. Say, God, I am your righteousness. God, I am healed. God, I am prosperous. Begin to call yourself by what God has done for you. If we go back to this, our first scripture, 2 Samuel chapter 5, I want to show you something there. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Let's go back there, please. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Let's go to 17 or even 18. Let's go back to 17, please. It says, now when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, and all the Philistines went up to search for David, and David heard of it and went down to his stronghold. Yeah, next verse, good. It says, the Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of what? Rephaim. They deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Next verse. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hands. Now watch this. Next verse. So David went to Baal Perazim. But that wasn't where the Philistines were, though. They were in the valley of what? Rephaim or something. So why has he ended up in Baal Perazim? Why? He says, so David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me, like a breakthrough of water. Therefore he called the name of that place, Baal Perazim. It used to be Valley of Rephaim, but David has renamed to Baal Perazim. He's renamed the place according to what God has done for him. And sometimes you have to rename yourself according to what God calls you. He says you are his righteousness. You need to call yourself, I am God's righteousness. You don't have to go with what you see or what's around you. You name yourself according to what God says you are. Then suddenly you see the breakthrough coming. Hallelujah. Is there anyone here who needs a breakthrough this morning? Listen, Bible talks about prayer of agreement. I want to agree with you this morning. I don't know what it is you're believing God for. I don't know what breakthrough is. I don't know what direction it is that you're believing God for. But I want to agree with you this morning concerning your breakthrough. That God himself will make a way for you where there's no way. That he himself will give you that breakthrough that you are looking for. Hallelujah. I want you to be on your feet. Listen, God wants to speak to you more than even you're ready to listen. But sometimes there's a barrier between us and him, and it's sin. But today he's told you that you are his righteousness. Adam, the first man, enjoyed such fantastic relationship with God until sin tore them apart. But Jesus came back to restore that relationship. Because God yearns. He yearns so much for us to be in relationship. I mean, your destiny is so important to him that he had to send his son just to come and die for you. Will you accept what he calls you today? That you are his righteousness? He doesn't want anything to stand between you and the lines of communication that there is. He wants you to hear his voice as clear as possible. When I read that David heard the Lord as clear as that, I said, God, this is my goal. I want to get to that place where, Lord, I can hear you clear for myself, that I don't have to be running after prophets every day. If it's our Father, why should I go to someone else to find out what my dad is talking about? Why can't I ask him for myself? We need to lift the bars up. We need to lift the bars up. Father, I lift your children this day before you, oh God. Father, you know the breakthroughs that they need, oh God. It's for a reason and a purpose, Father, that you call this year our year of Jubilee. It's because, Lord, you want to give us that breakthrough. And so, Father, we refuse to identify ourselves with any other name apart from the year of Jubilee. The year that brings us breakthrough, oh God. The year that brings us freedom, oh God. The year that brings us liberty, oh God. The year that causes us to step, oh God, onto higher ground. Father, I lift every heart before you right now, God. That you begin to align every heart that is outside of your will back in alignment with your will, oh God. Just for the sake of their destiny, Father. Father, I thank you so much for the work you're doing. I thank you for your mighty hand upon their lives. And I thank you for the freedom that you've brought them. I give you all the glory, Father, and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.